Hey everyone, Heritage Park is a church family who has apprentices to Jesus, pursues God, loves well, and serves the world. For more information about our church family, please visit heritagepark.org, and thanks for listening.
All right, let's give God offering of praise now. Amen. Amen. I said, let's give God an offering of praise. Amen. All right. All right. So good to see you all once again. I bring you greetings from Lake Charles, Louisiana, Mount Pilgrim Baptist Church. Amen. We've been brothers and sisters for several years now, going back. It's amazing how tragedy or storms and hurricanes can bring communities together. But we've been brothers and sisters for all of these seasons since those hurricanes and storms made us make acquaintance. Let's whisper a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word. Lord, our prayer is simple. What we know not, teach us, Lord. What we have not, give us, Lord. But then what we are not, please make us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. My Heavenly Father's children said amen. Amen. So you all have been walking through a series of sermons, a survey, a 30,000-foot view of the book of Proverbs, and your series has been called Wisdom for Life. And I drew the short stick, and I'll be dealing with words. I'll be dealing with our words. Our lunch scripture is Proverbs 18 and 21. But before we get to that, let's just talk about the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is not the promises of God, it's the wisdom of God. Everyone receive that? The book of Proverbs is the wisdom of God. A good way to look at it is this: it's godly wisdom for Christian living. Hear it again. The book of Proverbs is godly wisdom for Christian living. So this gives us wisdom for real life. It doesn't sugarcoat its prescriptions. It doesn't water it down. It meets us right where we live at. It's hard nosed. It's heavy hitting. It doesn't pull any punches. In fact, I'll give you a few. Proverbs 16 and 18. And mind you, this is in the E.J. Kemper translation. Proverbs 16, 18 says, if you're full of pride, get ready. A fall is right around the corner. Proverbs 25, 17, it's real practical. It says, you know, don't visit your neighbor so much until they start praying that you leave. Yep. It's a good one, right? Proverbs 17, 28 says, even a fool can look wise if they learn to be quiet. Yeah, we're going to come back to that one in a minute. Amen. We'll come back to that one in a minute. And then Proverbs 13 and 20 teaches us that if everybody in your circle is foolish, sooner or later you need to look in the mirror and ask yourself the question, why are they so comfortable around me? Right? Yeah. But today, our focus is on words. Our focus is on words today. And I just want to start by telling you that words matter. Proverbs 18, 21, listen to what it says. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That simply means that words have power. Let me say it again. This scripture has been misinterpreted, misapplied, so that we might say that I can speak things into existence. No, that's not what this text is saying. This text is not telling you that you have the power to speak things into existence. I know people that have been manifesting jobs and ain't got a job yet. No, that's not what this text is saying. This text is saying that words matter. Anyone? Just so I can feel comfortable, touch your neighbor and say, words matter. See, the first service didn't do it. Now, Amen. They did it eventually because I just kept saying it. I was like, touch your neighbor, touch your neighbor, touch it. Then they did it. Amen. But this text is saying, watch that words can kill and words can give life. Words can kill confidence. Words can kill joy. Words can kill trust. It can destroy peace. It can destroy intimacy. But then words can give life. Words can give a child a sense of worth. Words can resurrect hope in the midst of a hopeless situation. Words can wound, but words can also heal. Words can reconcile a relationship. It's amazing what, you know what, I was wrong. No excuses, I was wrong. It's amazing what just those words could do. It's amazing what the words, I'm sorry, can do. Anyone? It's amazing what the words, I forgive you, can do. Then words can remind someone, words can remind someone that God is near, that God is with them, that they are not alone. But then the verse says this, at the end of the verse it says this, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And in the E.J. Kemper translation, that means this, what you plant with your mouth, you've got to eat in your life. Right? That means words have consequences. Words have consequences. And so today, the question that we'll ask and answer is, what does godly wisdom in this book of Proverbs, as a survey of the book of Proverbs, what does it teach us about using our words wisely? And so I'll just give you my outline up front. Is that all right? Where I'm from, church people go to sleep while the preacher is preaching. So I've learned to give my outline up front so at least they have the outline. So I give you my outline. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to use the word words as an outline, all right? W-O-R-D-S. Here it is. Words, W, weigh them, O, order them, R, restrain them, D, discern them, and S, season them. All right? Can I break that thing down like a fraction? I'll be out of your hair real quick. Here's the first one. W, weigh them. Somebody say, weigh them. All right, so Proverbs 21:23 says this, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. It is this, it means think about the impact of your words. That's what that means. To weigh them is, before you speak them, think about the impact of your word. And the first thing that this proverb says is that the idea of keeping is like guarding your words. It's watching or protecting or paying attention to your words. It's the language of stewardship. Do you see it? We are stewards over our money. We are stewards of our relationships, stewards of our time. But Proverbs also teaches us that you are also stewards of your words, being a steward of your word. So this proverb is teaching me that there's oft times a connection between my mouth and my trouble. And I know a lot of times we think it's the devil that's giving us trouble. But sometimes it's our mouths. Sometimes the doors didn't close because someone was against us. It's because of our mouths. You ever talk yourself into some trouble? You ain't got to say nothing. Sometimes the relationship is not necessarily a bad relationship. The problem is the relationship is going through it because of the words that we're speaking to each other. So this text tells us to weigh our words. But watch, I want to dig deeper into that well for a second, because the weight of our words is not only indicative of what we say, but sometimes the weight of our words is based upon who's saying them. Do you all understand what I'm saying? Sometimes the weight is based on who's speaking the words. Watch now. A stranger can say something, and it doesn't matter to you at all. You just shake it right off. But if a parent says the same thing, then it matters. A stranger can say it, but if a spouse says it, it lands differently. A stranger can say it, but if a leader or a teacher or a close friend says it, same words, but it has a different weight. And so then this proverb teaches us that before we speak, we ought to weigh our words. So before I speak to my spouse, I need to weigh it. Before I respond to my child, before I send that text message, before I post or comment, before I repeat what I heard, I need to weigh it. I've learned that some jokes just aren't funny. So I need to weigh it. But then here's the O. The O is order them. Someone say order them. You see it? Weigh them, but then order them. Proverbs 15 and 28 says this: the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Now watch it. Watch it. It's a juxtaposition. It's a juxtaposition. On one hand, he has the righteous and they study their answer. And then on the other hand, you have the wicked and it just flies out. It just pours out. Do you see it? It's a juxtaposition. And so repeat after me. Repeat after me. My words are not a servant of my emotions. My words are a servant of my God. Anybody today give God a hallelujah right there, right? My words are not servant to my emotions. My words are servant to my God. That means I can't let anger control what I say. I can't let frustration control what I say. Y'all forgive me, my volume goes up the more excited I get. Look, watch, offense can't control what I say. Insecurity, impatience, my flesh, no. None of those things are in control. If I am a child of God, filled by the Spirit of God, then the Spirit of God is in control. Anybody today? And I don't have a case of the can't help it's Jesus. You know, I'm just like that. You know, that's just how I am. I'm just wired like that. I'm from Louisiana, and we say that all the time in Louisiana. You know, I'm Cajun. You know how we do sometimes. Right? I'm just telling it like it is. I just had to get that off my chest. No. If I belong to God, hear it now. If I belong to God, then my heart belongs to God. And out of the abundance of my heart will my mouth speak. The Bible says, take captive every thought and make those thoughts subservient to the will of God. So that means you don't have to say it. Anyone? Order your words. Order your words. Because here's the thing. Your words are either going to be ordered by God or they're going to be ordered by your emotions. So who's speaking? Who's ordering your words? Is it anger? I tell my church all the time that when it gets quiet, that's the good stuff. Is it your ego ordering your words? Fear, bitterness, insecurity, pain? See it? Weigh them, order them. But then the R is this: restrain them. Somebody say restrain them. Restrain them, restrain them. Two verses, Proverbs 10 and 19 says this, watch. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Proverbs 27, 28 says this: he that hath knowledge spareth his words.
And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. And this is the hardest one. This is the hardest one. Because this verse is teaching us about silence. Have you ever heard the idiom, speech is silver, but silence is golden? And this flies in the face of a world that says you gotta always have something to say. That's what the world teaches us, that you've gotta always have a reaction. You've gotta always post. You've gotta always share your opinion. You've always got to have a response. But godly wisdom teaches us that sometimes you ought to just be quiet. Anybody here today? Everybody doesn't need a platform. Everybody doesn't need a microphone. Don't let the world put a microphone in your face when in that moment the Spirit of God is teaching you to be quiet. Because here's the truth. You can say sometimes more with your silence than you can with your words. Anybody? Is there a husband that knows what I'm talking about? Yeah, man. My wife get quiet. I start acting right. Not that I wasn't acting right. I'll fix that later. Amen. Wisdom says, no, I don't have to respond. Wisdom says that I don't have to comment on everything. I don't have to defend myself against everything that's said. I don't have to give my opinion on everything. I don't have to turn everything that I feel into a Facebook post or a TikTok or an Instagram. Wisdom says just because I can speak doesn't mean I have to speak. My grandmother said it like this: everything that comes up don't need to come out. And then our second verse says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. I don't know if you remember Aesop's fable about the donkey. Aesop has a fable, and he talks about a donkey. He said, there's a donkey that finds some lion skin in the woods, right? And the donkey puts the lion skin on, and he looks like a lion. The donkey starts roaming throughout the jungle, and all of the other animals are afraid. They're scared because they think he's a lion. And the donkey is so tickled by the fact that everyone thinks that he's a lion that he starts laughing. And you know how a donkey sounds when he laughs, right? Right? And the fox heard him braying, laughing, right, and realized that he wasn't a lion. And the fox said to the donkey, I almost believed that you were a lion until you opened your mouth. Anyone here today? Wisdom says that sometimes the answer is silence. Sometimes wisdom sounds like, I'm not going to respond. Sometimes wisdom sounds like, I haven't had an opportunity to pray, so I'm not going to speak on it until I have an opportunity to pray. Sometimes wisdom says, I'm not going to give this more energy than what it deserves. Anybody today? Sometimes wisdom says, hey, let's pause because our emotions are getting in the way. Let's pause and let's come back to this later. Right? Sometimes silence is the answer. I don't know if you've ever experienced this in life, but sometimes silence can be a guardrail. It can be a guardrail. Because if you spoke in that moment, anger, you'd be speaking out of anger. You'd be speaking out of pride. You'd be speaking out of temptation, or you'd be speaking out of hurt. But you paused long enough for the Holy Spirit to step in. Right? Y'all, I've written several books, and before my book goes to the publisher, it has to go to the editor. Right? And the editor has the right to change my words. Even though they're my words, the editor has the right to correct what I wanted to say, to fix and alter what I intended to say, make it sound better, make it sound more readable or whatnot. And I'm saying that's how the Holy Spirit is in the life of the believer. The Holy Spirit has got to be the editor-in-chief. Anybody under the sound of my voice understand what I'm saying? That you've got to give the Holy Spirit the right to take whatever it is that I want to say and change my words, Lord, so that I would say it in anger, but it comes out in love. I would react out of my hurt, but it comes out through healing words rather than words of hurt. So we weigh them, we order them, we restrain them, but then D, we discern them. Someone say discern them. Proverbs 18 and 13 says this, "He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame to him." That means it's foolish to answer before you understand. Yeah, man. It's foolish to respond before you listen. It's foolish to judge a matter before you've heard the whole matter. It's foolish to make a conclusion with partial information. Because wisdom says that before I speak, I need to listen. Anyone? I don't know if there's anyone else, if there is any other husbands that have this problem or dads that have this problem. I love to put the cape on, y'all. Right? If there's a problem, I'm coming to try to fix it. But you know what I've discovered? Sometimes my wife, sometimes my children don't need me to fix the problem. They just need me to listen. And I'm ready with a solution. They just need dad to listen. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And so wisdom in this case teaches us, hey, stop reloading while they're talking. I'm preparing my rebuttal while they're talking. And then you end up responding to something that they didn't even say. Am I the only one? Why y'all acting like I'm the only one then? Y'all looking at me like, man, you do that? Wow. Right? While the other person is talking, I'm already building my argument. But Proverbs says this. It says, the wise person hears before answering. Before answering, here's what I need to do. I need to discern. Do I really understand what's being said? Do I have the whole story? Is this the right time and place to answer? Will my answer bring clarity or offense? Am I responding to what they said, or am I really just reacting to how I feel? Anyone today? Finally, season them. Someone say, season them. All right, look at this text. It's explosive. The words leap off the page and beg for me to teach you what it means. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a picture of silver. The image is amazing. It's like that beautiful piece of art or that beautiful painting or that beautiful statue that you have in your home. You know how sometimes you can have a really nice piece of art, but you don't really know where to put it at? You ever had a really nice piece of art, but you had it in the wrong room? And you move it to another room, move it to the living room, move it to this place until you find the right place for that piece of art. It's a beautiful piece of art, but it was out of place for a season. And that's what this verse is saying. This verse is saying that words, the right words, are like having a beautiful piece of art in the right place. Right? It's like speaking words when people really need those words. That's what he's saying. Season our words. It's a word fitly spoken. That means a word at the right moment, a word that fits the need, a word that fits the person, the purpose, or a word that's at the right moment, at the right time. I wonder if anyone knows what I'm talking about. Have you ever been there in life? Have you ever been discouraged and somebody that didn't even know what you were going through sent you a text message and that word became encouragement? It happens. It happened to me this morning. I come in, I was a ball of nerves, even though I've been coming this way for the past 5 or 6 years, but I still was so nervous. I don't know why. Every time I get ready to preach, I'm so nervous. So nervous. But I'm sitting in the office yonder, and the brothers come and they get ready to pray. And it's that prayer. It's those prayers that in that moment give me the encouragement that I need, that I'm on assignment from God. You understand what I'm saying? It's a word fitly spoken. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a vessel of God that can give a word that's fitly spoken. Your word at the right moment can encourage somebody who is getting ready to quit. Someone who has turned their back on God, perhaps your word, your testimony at the right time can help them come back to God. Your word can give someone hope who is losing hope.
It's the word at the right moment. Our text says that our word can be like honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. It can help someone see clearly. Can help someone make a better decision. It can remind someone that they are not alone. I've been there so many times. I've had someone say, "I'm praying with you." Someone telling you that you're not alone. Someone letting you know that the Lord is with you. And I want to tell you that. Listen to me. I'm finished. That if you are a believer and you know that God is with you, you know that God walks with you and talks with you, that you don't have to be a prisoner of your emotions where everything you say, you're reacting to what's done or reacting to the circumstances around you. Child of God, God is with you. Do you believe that? In every situation, he's with you. So when the world tries to make you angry, you don't have to react. You don't have to respond out of that. You've got to remember, God is with me, and I don't have to respond out of the anger. I don't have to give them the answer that they're looking for. I can respond based on the fact that God is with me. It's the mother. It's the mother. Can you see her? It's the mother. Her son has been acting bad. He's a little toddler, 1, 2, or 3 years old. He's just been cutting up. So she takes him and she puts him in the playpen. Says, "You're going to be in the playpen because you've been acting bad." But granddaddy comes over. And she said, "Dad, little EJ's been being bad. And I know you hadn't seen him. I know you want to pick him up, but he's on timeout. Don't pick him up. He's in the playpen, and that's where he got to stay." So she goes back into the kitchen. A few minutes later, she hears Dad and little EJ playing. And she was like, I told him not to take him out of that playpen. Y'all, she goes into the living room where the playpen is. And you know what? Granddaddy didn't take him out the playpen. He got in the playpen with him. And I want to leave you with that. I want to leave you that you are not a prisoner of the moment because God gets in the playpen with us. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's in it with you. I don't have to respond out of anger. I don't have to respond out of my emotions. I can just rest in the fact that God is with me. And every word that I speak, there'll be healing words. There'll be loving words. There'll be words that lift up and not tear down. And so watch now. This sermon is not a sermon of behavior modification. This is a sermon of surrender. It is to say, "Lord, use my tongue." Anybody today? "Lord, use my tongue to speak words of hope." Somebody, "Lord, use my tongue, God, to share the gospel." "Lord, use my tongue that when someone else leaves my presence, they'll feel more of you, God." Encouragement, not discouragement. Do you all receive the word of God today? Do you receive the word of God? Well, God bless you. Amen.